In the collect of today's Mass, Holy Mother Church prays, Almighty and everlasting God, grant unto us an increase of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a really beautiful example of faith contained in today's Gospel, but it really is easy to miss unless you're quite observant. It took me a few times of reading it to catch it. But as our Lord entered into a certain town, there were 10 lepers standing afar off. Lepers, as you know, they were not allowed inside any town or city or village, and they could not approach anyone due to their leprosy because it was highly contagious and incurable. And you can almost imagine the scene as the Gospel depicts it for us. As they were standing afar off, they watched our Lord entering into the city, and from a distance, they shouted, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And interestingly enough, no mention is made that Jesus ever approached them, that he got any nearer to them than he was, or even that he touched them to heal their leprosy, as in other healings. The Gospel only says that after they had shouted to him, that he responded, Go, show yourselves to the priest. That is, if you go to the priests and obey me, you will be healed by my power. So Christ commanded them to go to the priests, but he did it for one reason among many, to test their faith and obedience. The lepers knew that they had an incurable disease and that going to the priest would not heal them. The priest could only make a declaration whether or not a leper was clean or unclean, and no more. Still, they went to the priest as Christ had commanded. All the while, they believed most firmly that they would be healed by Christ before they got to the priests. They did not stop to judge or to question our Lord's command, but with the most simple and strong faith, they obeyed it, and our Lord rewarded them with the miraculous healing. After all that had happened, only the Samaritan returned to give thanks to our blessed Lord. The Samaritan was in schism with the Jewish religion, the true religion at the time, but on this occasion was given the grace of conversion to the true faith. They say that this Samaritan later on became a disciple of our Lord, that he received his baptism, and he went around preaching this miracle to all that would listen, and it converted many. Well, like this Samaritan, you too have been given the gift of faith. How did you receive it? When did you receive it? Are you one of those lucky ones who was born into the faith and who was raised in the true faith? Or are you like the many of us who found it, or rather, God found it for us much later on in life? Think back to how you got the faith. Whether you're sitting here in a pew this morning at St. Gertrude's or are listening online, it is only because you have been given a treasure which is not given to every man, especially in this day and age after Vatican II. But God, in his providence, in his goodness, has chosen you, just the same as he chose the three kings, just the same as he chose St. Paul, and just the same as he chose St. Mary Magdalene and St. Augustine. And therefore, this gift which you have been given should never be taken lightly. Catechism lesson. The Catechism defines faith in this way, saying it is a supernatural gift of God by which one chooses reasonably to believe most firmly all that God has revealed, because God must know the truth and is incapable of telling a lie. We will not go through the whole definition, but the virtue of faith is a supernatural gift of God. We cannot merit the faith. We cannot earn the faith. We cannot purchase the faith. God alone gives the faith. We can hope for it. We can pray for it. We can dispose ourselves to receive it. But only God can give the faith. As it says in the Gospel of St. John, no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. But although we cannot merit this gift, when God offers this gift of the faith to us, we do choose to either accept it or to reject it. It is for that reason that many who are called to the Catholic faith never become Catholic, because they refuse the call. And it is also why many who had the faith have lost it, because it is in their free will to reject it. That is something to be careful of. How much do you value the gift that God has given you? How much, parents, do you value the gift that God has given to your children? Is it enough to cultivate it in your own soul? Enough to cultivate it in the souls of your children? Well, this summer, I somehow managed to kill all of the flowers several times in my garden behind the church. You won't see them, thank goodness, but it's simply because I failed to water those flowers. I can't expect the flowers to live if I don't take care of them. So also, if you do not take care to cultivate the faith, that is to guard it, to protect it, to nourish it in your soul and the souls of your children, that faith will weaken and eventually die. How do you cultivate the faith? Here's a few don'ts. We'll start with the don'ts and a few do's. I got this from an old catechism book called the Catechism Cards. The don'ts, what we must avoid. First, we should avoid the obvious, public schools, even private schools that do not teach the Catholic faith. One author, he wrote a book on the Catholic education, Father Mueller, I think it was. He said that the best means ever used by Satan to bring about gradually a universal falling away from Christ and his religion are these types of schools. He continues, in these schools, no mention of God and religion is to be made, and the best means to destroy religion is not to teach any. You can look around society today and see the effect of it. The same, though, can be said of Novus Ordo schools or Protestant schools. Those may be even worse, because not only is God not mentioned, but heresy is taught. If you want your children to keep their faith, get them out of the public schools and Protestant schools and secular schools of all sorts. Avoid it at all costs, even at the greatest inconvenience. Many parents say, well, we have to work, both of us have to work, or I don't know how to teach my children. It's too expensive. I want them to have friends. Well, your children's soul is so much more important than any of that. Any sacrifice should be made in order to either put them in a Catholic school or to homeschool them. So avoiding those sorts of schools. Second is to avoid bad books of any kind. This includes today not only books, but movies and such things. Things that speak directly against the faith, but also things that are just merely useless and idle. Think of Facebook and Twitter, all those things that merely dissipate the mind and cause a gradual weakening of faith because they distract the mind from thinking good things. It draws it down instead of upward. Perhaps you've even noticed that in your own life, how as you scroll through everything, you wonder why it is that you can't pray without distraction, why it is that there's no longer any time for spiritual reading and the like. These are all things that are designed to keep us thinking of material and worldly things instead of heavenly. That is the ultimate design and purpose. Thirdly, we must avoid bad companions. And I hear this a lot among parents. Well, my children, they need friends. Well, friends are useful. Friends are a gift from God. But they do not need friends that will lead them away from the faith. They need good Catholic friends. And actually, when you stop and think about it, if you're the type of parent that thinks it's a good idea to put your children in organized sports and the like, they will meet bad companions there. I've been there, done that. No, your children will be perfectly happy in a Catholic home with a Catholic mother and father, with the Catholic siblings. They will learn to love it. Look at the families of the saints. Saint Therese, for example, how close they were. She never missed not having friends. She had everything that she needed. Now the do's. The number one do is to study. You know, Cardinal Chevreux, he was the first bishop in Boston. He used to preach every Sunday in the cathedral, and his sermons were always about the basic catechism. And he once said that the catechism is the book of the old as well as the young, of the learned as well as the ignorant. Everyone there finds something to learn. To undervalue the catechism proceeds only from prejudice. Everyone should study the catechism, no matter how old you are. We always should be growing in our knowledge of the faith. And so every home should have various copies of the catechism, from the basic levels to the highest. And I really recommend Spirago's The Catechism Explained. It is a great book with very fantastic explanations. It's worth its weight in gold. Secondly, after study, we must have time for reflection. It's not enough just to read and read quickly and say, well, I've learned enough. No, now with regard to the faith, you must reflect on it. Take the time to ponder them, to meditate upon them. The prophet Jeremiah said this, very interesting. With desolation is all the land made desolate, because there is none that considereth in the heart. We must reflect on the truths of the faith, and we must reflect how they can and should be applied to daily life. That is one of the dangers to our fast-paced society, is that there is no time to reflect, no time to think and meditate, ponder the truths of our faith. And that's why our faith And the faith of our children is so often so weak. The third do is prayer. Remember that those who do not have the faith must ask it of God, and those who do have the faith must ask God to persevere in it. And again, this is especially true in today's day and age, after Vatican II, where there is no such thing as objective truth and reality in society, they say. Make your daily act of faith. It could be the ones you learned at First Communion. It could be one that you take from Scripture or the prayers of the saints. Lord, I believe, but do thou help my unbelief. And fourthly and finally, I thought it was interesting to note this in the Catechism. One way to preserve the faith in yourself, or to get it, or if you don't have it, is to cultivate two virtues. The first is humility. The second is sorrow for sin. Oh, but Bishop, what do those two virtues have to do with keeping the faith? Well, two reasons why many leave the faith are pride and attachment to sin. Those who cannot humble their intellect and make a simple act of faith, taking God's word on something that they cannot understand, and believing the truths of faith because God has said it is true. And then, when a person is attached to sin, it is the truths of our faith that make him very, very uncomfortable. And gradually, after he can no longer justify himself in his sin, he must give up the faith, or he must give up the sin. Well, since you and your children have been given the faith, it is because God, in his goodness, think of that, chose to give it to you and to your children, a special grace. Let us be like the Samaritan in today's gospel and return to God and give him thanks for this gift. And then let us do our part to cultivate the faith in our own hearts and the hearts of our children. Let's begin that part today. No delays. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.